Good morning, everybody. It's lovely to see everybody having fun, seeing who's made it. Welcome to those who've made it for the first time. Brilliant. And or welcome to those who are looking in from Nepal. Sita Gurung, hopefully, is somewhere here in the crowd. We may have Kylie and Bim from Northern India having a little look today, and we'll get to speak to them on another Sunday. And welcome to the Lee family. I've forgotten where you are, Kuala Lumpur. Good to have Elise with us this morning. We're going to be hearing a bit more from them. And welcome to Anne Richardson, who's signing for the Deaf Church today on behalf of Jan. Welcome, Anne. It's good to have you joining us. I don't know, I haven't seen Roz and the Ben family, but I'm sure you're there somewhere. Happy birthday to Roz today. And a happy 98th birthday to Hilda Moore, who may well be watching down at Field Lodge. If she is, we'll give them a call later on. A reminder that after the blessing, we'll have a little break, and then after the break, we're going to break bread together. So if you would like to stay for breaking of bread, do. If you need to leave, that's quite all right. Let's just have a moment of catching our breath, shall we, from saying hello excitedly to everybody. And remember, we come together to worship our Lord Jesus Christ and God our Father. Father, we thank you that you are present with us by your Spirit as we meet together in every home scattered, and yet we are all one in Christ. And so we can sing together of the wondrous story.
Yeah, it's great to be here. Great to see everybody. We miss everybody very much. Here it's 6 o'clock in the evening. It's a very hot season in the mid-30s. And we're in our seventh week of lockdown, I think, in our flat on the seventh floor in Kuala Lumpur.
Shall we just pray? Father God, thank you for your presence with the Lee family, and I pray that you would make that presence felt by each of them, and especially for Grace, that you would surround her with your love and bring to her a friend, however that might be. And we pray, Father, that by your Spirit you would continue to touch the lives of the street children and their families in Manila. And those who in Southeast Asia are being persecuted for their faith, may their example to us be one of courage to recognize the precious gift that we have in Christ, that we have new life, the prospect of new creation, and in the midst of the pain of this life, the love of God, which knows no limit. So pour your love on the Lee family this morning, we pray. And for Sita and her work, and for Kylie and Bim, if they're listening in, Father God, we pray your blessing on them too, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Peter and John went to the temple one afternoon to take part in the 3 o'clock prayer service. As they approached the temple, a man lame from birth was being carried in. Each day he was put beside the temple gate, the one called the Beautiful Gate, so he could beg from the people going into the temple. When he saw Peter and John about to enter, he asked them for some money. Peter and John looked at him intently, and Peter said, "Look at us." The lame man looked at them eagerly, expecting some money, but Peter said, "I don't have any silver or gold for you, but I'll give you what I have. In the name of Jesus Christ the Nazarene, get up and walk." Then Peter took the lame man by the right hand and helped him up. and as he did, the man's feet and ankles were instantly healed and strengthened. He jumped up, stood on his feet and began to walk. Then walking, leaping and praising God, he went into the temple with them. All the people saw him walking and heard him praising God. When they realised he was the lame beggar they had so often seen at the beautiful gate, they were absolutely astounded. They all rushed out in amazement to Solomon's colonnade, where the man was holding tightly to Peter and John. Peter saw his opportunity and addressed the crowd. "People of Israel," he said, "what is so surprising about this? And why stare at us as though we had made this man walk by our own power or godliness? For it is the God of Abraham, Isaac and Jacob, the God of all our ancestors, who has brought glory to his servant Jesus by doing this. This is the same Jesus whom you handed over and rejected before Pilate, despite Pilate's decision to release him. You rejected this holy, righteous one and instead demanded the release of a murderer. You killed the author of life, but God raised him from the dead, and we are witnesses of this fact. Through faith in the name of Jesus, this man was healed, and you know how crippled he was before. Faith in Jesus' name has healed him before your very eyes. Friends, I realize that you and your leaders did to Jesus was done in ignorance. But God was fulfilling what all the prophets had foretold about the Messiah, that he must suffer these things. Now repent of your sins and turn to God so that your sins may be wiped away. And times of refreshment will come from the presence of the Lord, and he will again send you Jesus, your appointed Messiah. For he must remain in heaven until the time for the final restoration of all things, as God promised long ago through his holy prophets. Moses said, "The Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from among your own people. Listen carefully to everything he tells you." Then Moses said, "Anyone who will not listen to that prophet will be completely cut off from God's people." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Good morning. It's really nice to see everybody this morning. So we're looking at Acts 3, beginning at verse 1. And the passage fits really well with our theme from last week. Do you remember we talked about the early church believers, how they pursued God's word so that it took root in their hearts? And they did that through teaching and reading, worshipping, chatting, praying and eating together. And as they did that, we read that God added to their number those who were being saved. So we've read on a bit today to continue the story. It's about Peter and John, two of the original disciples, and a man who couldn't walk. And I just want us to notice four things. They're not clever. They're just simply principles for us as we seek to follow Jesus. Principles we all know, but isn't it so good to go back to the foundations of our faith in this season of uncertainty? So verse 1, one day Peter and John were going to the temple at the time of prayer, at 3 in the afternoon. Now, some of us may be connected to Ramadan with work colleagues and friends, and I met a young person who I was seeing as part of my work only a few weeks ago from the Muslim faith, and she came to see me for an appointment. And as we walked into the room, she said, "Do you mind if I pray because it's getting late?" And so I sat down and I waited for her, and she went to the corner of the room to pray before she started her appointment. And it struck me that I am much less good at protecting my time with God in the way that she did. So Peter and John were Jews, and they followed the pattern of Hebrew prayer times, even as they became followers of Jesus. They were often together, weren't they, in the scriptures. They were partners in the fishing business. They prepared the last Passover for Jesus. They ran to the tomb together on resurrection morning. But these prayer times that were followed had been practiced for centuries. And you remember back in the Old Testament, Daniel prayed 3 times a day. And the stated times for worship were early morning for prayers, the 9th hour at 3, and evening sacrifices at sunset. and I don't know how it is for you, but establishing a rhythm of prayer is one of the most difficult things that I find to do. Because we're multitaskers, aren't we? We're always running behind lots of noise around us. It's been interesting since we've been doing Zoom church, because I've been joining night prayer every night at 9 on Zoom. And it's not a form of prayer that I've used regularly, just occasionally in home group. But it's interesting that this rhythm of the evening has become a norm for us. There's a really old book, some of you might have read it, called The Practice of the Presence of God. That idea that we know that God can break into our lives on many occasions, whether or not we practice his presence. But just as in friendship or marriage, we have to just be together regularly if we're going to grow together. And so it is with God. So at this time, if you can establish a rhythm of worship and prayer in your life, that would be great. We read on to hear the second principle. Peter and John approach the temple through a beautiful gate. The beggar asked Peter and John for money, but they had none to give. Would have been easier to just walk by, wouldn't it? But they stopped and they looked. So that second principle, engage with the world around you, especially with those who feel broken inside. It's a reminder to be alert and remember that your own experience isn't the only experience. You'll know that in this COVID season, people have written all sorts of things, often quite sentimental. But I found one that I thought for me was really helpful. So I just thought I'd read it because it connects with this idea. And the title of it is We're All in the Same Boat, but We're Not All in the Same Storm. And it goes like this. For some people, it's a sprinkling. This is a break. It's a breather. It's a pause in the normal. It's a time to reconnect with family and slow down. Honestly, it's kind of peaceful. For some, it's a storm. It's a bit scary. It's disruptive. It's enough to make you stay up and watch the news and worry. For some, it's a hurricane. It's tearing on the boards and pulling off the roof. It's washing them out to sea. It's dark and unknown. It's life-changing. It's not wrong to be enjoying the sprinkles or enduring the storm, but please don't negate the difference. Rest with the family, but don't minimise the hurricane engulfing your neighbour. Laugh at the men, but get on your knees for your friends and get in someone else's storm. I don't know the source of that, but I thought it was a great reminder. Engage in the world around you, like Peter and John did. Ask God to show you where your attention should be. Listen to his promptings to ring someone or write to somebody. You'll be surprised how many times you've made contact at exactly the right time for them. Or you've met a need, perhaps they barely knew they had. Because notice that this man thought his greatest need was a few coins. But of course, and even more than his healing, his greatest need was to be introduced to Jesus, the source of the power of healing and strength. So, establish a rhythm of worship and prayer. Engage in the world around you, especially those who feel they're broken inside. And then a third thought from this reading is enable blessings in the lives of others as you can. Remember the children's song, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, I give unto you. So what Peter gave the beggar in terms of healing was worth more than all the elaborate metal that decorated those huge doors of the beautiful gate through which they were passing. Because it reflected the generosity of God, throwing through the loving actions of his children. So stop thinking about what you can't do and start thinking about what you can do. After all, that's what matters, and that's what will stop us being paralysed by impossibly difficult situations. life in the COVID pandemic is characterized by many things that we can't do at the moment. So the question for us, as it was for Peter and John, is, well, what can we do? We don't have to be able to answer every question or address every dilemma, to heal every hurt or bring joy into all sadness. Nor do we need to defend God, but we know a Saviour who can do all that and more. So enable a rhythm of worship and prayer. Engage in the world around you. Enable blessing in the lives of others as you can. And finally, let's exercise our faith to God's glory. We continue to read. Peter said, "In the name of Jesus Christ, rise up and walk." And taking him by the right hand, he helped him up. The man's feet and ankles became strong. He jumped to his feet and began to walk. And he went into the temple courts, walking and leaping and praising God. And when all the people saw, they too praised God. So this is about the power of Jesus, isn't it? Not the power of Peter and John, of course. But notice the opportunity it gave in verse 16 that Lisa read to us for Peter to speak of the love and power of Jesus, because miracles are never for their own sake. And they're not simply an individual healing. They always pave the way for the proclamation of the kingdom of God. And it enabled Peter to then preach, "By faith in the name of Jesus, this man who you saw and know was made strong. It is Jesus' name and the faith that comes through him that has completely healed him, as you can all see." So four principles in this reading. Establish a rhythm of prayer and worship. Engage in the world around you, particularly for those who feel broken. Enable blessing in the lives of others as you can, and exercise your faith to God's glory. And as Tim reminded us just now, we remember that Peter and John were living out their commitment to Christ in a difficult and threatening world. And about the time he finishes his sermon in the second half of this chapter, the temple police arrest him. Because struggle is never very far away, and nor should it be.
Just a few thoughts of my own on the text, just some pointers really. Rosie and I agreed to share it together, and as she shared, I thought, well, I've not got much to add. But the example for us perhaps is the routine of daily prayer. And then being prepared to be waylaid. Peter and John are going to pray. They're not going to heal a lame man on the way, but they are prepared to be waylaid by him. And then offering the only thing they had in the name of Jesus. Nothing of themselves, just simple faith that what Jesus said was true, was true. And then the response, of course, when the crowd see what's happened, is that Peter addresses them. So he seizes the opportunity. He's acting in faith in the name of Jesus, but then again declaring just who Jesus is. And to the crowd, we read here, "Now you've seen this with your own eyes. Repent of your sins and turn to God. Then times of refreshment will come from the presence of the Lord." I think it's an amazing word for today. Repent of your sins and turn to God. Then times of refreshment will come. As Rosie reminded us, the temple police turned up and arrested them. So it doesn't look much like that. But God is faithful to his promises. And as we go through times of testing, we know that glory is to come. And then for those of you who read right down to the end of the passage, and maybe you want to check it out afterwards, you'll find that the passage finishes with Moses. A reminder that here is the hinge point in history of God's story. Luke refers to Jesus, the prophet, capital P. Then Moses said, he quotes, "Anyone who will not listen to that prophet will be completely cut off from God's people." How important it is that we encourage people to repent, to turn from their sins and turn to God. Then times of refreshment will come. In the meantime, we're going through a storm, but we're trusting in Jesus, the one who brings salvation. And we look forward to the glory that will be revealed when he comes again. So I'm going to hand over to Tim now, that's Tim Weatherfield, just to be clear, who's going to lead us in prayer. Thank you, Tim.
In the shadow of the coronavirus, we can feel unravelled, fearing for our health, wealth, comfort. Jesus said, "Don't worry. Seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously, and he will give you everything you need." We pray for the world, for war-torn Syria and Yemen, where hospitals have been bombed out, for those who do not have a home to stay safe in, for those who do not have proper food supplies, running water and sanitation, for those in refugee camps with a high risk of disease and infection, for Jigsaw International, providing food and emergency supplies to street children, for Anbu and his hospital, showing God's love in a hostile environment. In our nation, we thank you for V-Day last Friday. God save the Queen for her wisdom and leadership, providing hope in the difficult times we now face. We pray for the Prime Minister and his government, for tonight's announcement on plans for the easing of the lockdown. We lift to you our NHS, doctors, nurses, paramedics, administrators and hospital cleaners, and for all those who work in care homes. Protect them. Keep them safe. Restore them. And let us not forget all those other key workers. Blessed be the bin men, the supermarket workers and delivery drivers. In our community, we lift to you all those struggling with the virus, that you would give them a speedy recovery. For those who are vulnerable and at high risk, for those who are ill and undergoing treatment, for those struggling to cope with unemployment or furloughing, for those worried about paying household bills or putting food on the table. We pray for the St Ives Food Bank and all those local good neighbour schemes. For anyone in our community in crisis. For those facing relationship breakdown or domestic violence. For those bereaved or lonely and afraid. We pray for families struggling to cope, for tired parents, and for children and teenagers made restless by the strangeness of the current situation, who may be worried about everything that's going on. Bring hope and affirmation that they are loved. And we pray for the Lee family, and particularly Grace. Thank you for the sense of community many of us experienced last Friday, when we enjoyed the company of neighbours from our own gardens. We pray that those relationships would grow in the weeks and months ahead. We pray for ourselves. Strengthen our faith. We lift to you our fears, doubts and worries. Help us and heal us. Help us use this lockdown to grow closer to you. Finally, a prayer for those for whom life feels on hold, frustrated by the hold-up of lockdown, and for those who may be fighting to hold back the tears. We pray that we would all hold on to the hope and faith in our loving God. We pray that we would uphold the needs of others and hold out a helping hand to others. Above all, Lord, help us to hold on tight to you, because you hold us. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
The God of peace, who brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the eternal covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit rest upon you and remain with you always. Amen. As we come to break bread, let us remember Paul's instruction to the church in Corinth. Everyone ought to examine themselves before they eat of the bread and drink of the cup, so that they do not eat or drink in an unworthy manner. And from Luke's Gospel we read, "So let us stay in peace, reach out in peace, and as those with a living hope, live together in peace, in the name of Christ. Amen."